As we continue in worship this day, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. We'll be reading from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 23. The words can be found on the screen as well. It says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for the ability to join in this space this day as a community of faith, to sing praises, to hear a word from you, to be reminded that we're in this journey together as a community. May you surround us with brothers and sisters, neighbors, to walk with us, to remind us of your grace. May we be attentive to one another and to your Holy Spirit. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So we hear last words at different points in our life. Many times they come in moments before physical death. However, last words don't always come just before a death. I Googled some of the most famous last words of people, and most of these were probably right before someone passed away, but I learned these quotes of people's last words came out of a book called Last Words of Notable People, Final Words of More Than 3,500 Noteworthy People Throughout History. I won't go through all 3,500 of them for you this morning, but here are a few that I found intriguing. Nostradamus predicted, "Tomorrow at sunrise, I shall no longer be here." And he was right. Leonardo da Vinci was overly modest, saying, "I have offended God and mankind because my work did not reach the quality it should have. The Mona Lisa isn't good enough." John Wayne, who died at 72 in LA, he turned to his wife and said, "Of course I know who you are. You're my girl. I love you." Basketball great Pistol Pete Maravich collapsed during a pickup game. His last words, "I feel great." According to Steve Jobs' sister Mona, the Apple's founder's last words were, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow." Harriet Tubman's last words were, "Give my love to the churches. Tell the women to stand firm. I'm going to prepare a place for you." John Wesley, founder of Methodism, spent his dying breath saying, "Best of all, God is with us." Last words come at different moments in which we sometimes can't seem to wrap our mind around what is going on. But we remember last words. The average person will say more than 5,000 words a day through email, through text messages, through casual small talk. But we only have one chance to say our last word, and sometimes we don't know when that time is coming for us. We remember last words because they are spoken to us by people who have impacted our lives. I remember the last words of a few friends who passed away. Before they passed away, I didn't know that I would never see them again. And yet, I remember the last words. I wonder if you remember last words that you spoke or have heard people speak to you. Who were those words spoken by? Where were you? Do you remember? Who was there with you? And how has your life been affected since that moment? Christ's reign was established by God's great power, who, when God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Today is Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday is the last Sunday, the last week of the Christian year. Tomorrow, the Christian calendar starts over with the first Sunday of Advent. You know, we believe that Jesus is not one Lord among many, but is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Jesus is Lord not only in this world, but in the world to come. Christ the King Sunday, the Sunday that we remember or celebrate today, was celebrated first in 1925 when the world was still reeling from World War I and dictators were laying the foundations for World War II. In Europe and in Mexico, there were great forces of secularization in the government doing all they could to weaken the influence of religion. And so the church sent a bold statement on the last Sunday of the Christian year saying, "Do what you will, but Jesus Christ will have the final word." The reign of Christ leads people to exclusive hope, the good news that surrounds the whole world and all of humanity in all times. Today we read from Ephesians. The author of Ephesians prays that his readers may know the confident hope to which God has given to those who he has called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. You are Christ's rich and glorious inheritance. God put all things under Christ's feet, and the Christian hope is rooted in the astounding promise that Christ will gather up all things in himself, that Christ will have the final word, that he will make all things new, like we read in Revelation. We have a Christ's rich inheritance. We've become God's own people. Those who follow Christ are connected to the one who stands above the powers of the world, because the church, the people of God, is the body of Christ. So that in the midst of fear and chaos and an illness and even death, Christians hold fast to the image of Christ enthroned above all. That Christ has the final word. Ephesians 1:22 makes the church the central concern of Christ's victory, as it says, "God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church." And the church that's talked about here is not Northwest Hills United Methodist Church, but the church universal, the Big C Church. The Greek word is ecclesia. Ecclesia. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that Christians must learn how to be the ecclesia church, the Big C Church, as those who are called forth, not regarding ourselves from a religious point of view as specially favored, but rather belonging wholly to the world. In that case, Christ is not the object of religion, but something quite different, really the Lord of the world. That he was Lord in the beginning, he will be Lord in the end, Even now, he is Lord. These are practical words for our life. That Paul does not relegate Jesus to a heavenly throne, that he has no weight on earth, but Jesus' kingship transforms our life now. Every allegiance, every relationship, even our understanding of life and death, Christ's supreme reign means that God's kingdom is a kingdom of love and peace and justice that triumphs now as well as later. Years ago, author and devout Christian Bruce Larson wrote a very helpful book titled Believe and Belong. And in that book, he told about one exercise he used over the years to help people surrender their lives to Christ. He said that for many years, he worked in New York City, and during this time, he used his office to counsel with people who were struggling with faith. Often, he would suggest that they walk from his office down to the RCA building on Fifth Avenue, and in the entrance of that building, you'll find this picture. Nope, the other one. There you go, okay. Gigantic statue of Atlas. And it describes this portrayal of Atlas as a beautifully proportioned man who, with all his muscles straining, is holding the world upon his shoulders. And he would say, there he is, the most powerful built man in the world, and he can barely stand up under this burden. He says, that's one way to live, trying to carry the world upon your shoulders. But now come across the street with me, Larson would say, and they would walk across Fifth Avenue to St. Patrick's Cathedral, and behind the right altar of the great cathedral is a little, now, shrine of Jesus, perhaps 8 or 9 years old. With no effort, he's holding the world in one hand. And in Larson's mind, his point was made. We have a choice to make, he would say. We can carry the world upon our shoulders, or we can say, I give up, Lord. Here's my life. I give you my world, the whole world, to the one who holds the final word. What a beautiful reminder for us. A choice that we get to make every day. To carry the weight of the world upon our shoulders, or to yield that burden to our Christ, our Savior, the one who sits at the right hand of God. One in whom we can trust, and who has the final word in all things. The one who has the final word in all things. When we're sitting in the waiting room, waiting for the test results to come back, Christ has the final word in all things. As we weep over the grave, Christ has the final word. As we sit and watch the nightly news and we see people hurt one another, Christ has the final word. When we seem to have lost all hope and feel that promises have been broken, Christ has the final word. When we can't imagine anything tomorrow could bring to fill the hole in our heart, Christ has the final word. When we go through all kinds of moments in which we think there's no way to ever get through it, Christ has the final word. And every day we get to make that choice to carry the weight upon our shoulders or to yield it to the one who deeply loves us, who sits at the right hand of God, and yet also walks with us so closely as the breath we breathe. I wonder how our lives might be different next time. Or maybe it's a moment right now in which we feel lonely or lost or disappointed or defeated. And instead of thinking that we've been left to face that battle by ourselves, we instead turn to the one who has all things under his feet, the one who has the final word. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for you walking with us, for giving us this inheritance that we could never develop ourselves or earn ourselves, but Lord, you have made us your children. You've given us everything we need, and Lord, we can put it all in your hands instead of carrying it all ourselves. And so, Lord, as we go through challenging moments in life, as we go through joys, may we know that you are with us, that you always have the final word. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.